Appreciate those songs. Remain standing, if you will. Turn in your Bible to Job chapter number 3 and Proverbs chapter 10. While you're finding your places there, I'll mention a couple of more things announcement-wise. We've got some tracts up here on the pulpit that were sent to us from Blessed Hope Baptist Printing Ministry. These are specifically for Resurrection Day, this Easter time of year that people celebrate. It says, "He is risen, and because he lives, I can face tomorrow." Amen. And so we've got several of those. I've got more in my office. We gave some out this week. If you'd like to get some of those to give out, particularly this week, right here headed up to the celebration of that. And so if you want to get some of those, it'd be a blessing. Amen. Then there was something else I was going to mention. Don't know what it was. All right, we'll just look in the scriptures then. All right, Job chapter number 3, and Job chapter 3, verse number 25. Just reading one verse. I want to preach a topical message. Verse number 25 of Job chapter 3. Let's all read it together, all right? "For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." Job said, "I was afraid of something, and it happened." Chapter number 10 of Proverbs and verse number 24. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 24. I'll read that one, then we'll read together verse 28. We're going to read 24 and 28. So I'll read 24. You'll come in with me on 28. Verse 24, "The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted." Verse 28, "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish." I believe all three of those verses are telling us the same thing. It's talking about fears realized. It's talking about desires realized. And so that's what I'm preaching on this morning. Fears and desires realized. Fears and desires realized. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Brother Hereford, would you lead us in prayer, please, brother? Yes, thank you, Lord. Yes. 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 Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Thank you for that prayer, brother. I remembered what that other thing was. It was a prayer request. I was going to ask you to pray for Miss Stephanie and the baby. She's carrying the baby. And I understand they may have found a problem. And they're going to send her to a specialist on April the 1st. And so pray for her about that the Lord would intervene and help with all that. It may not be a problem. You know, sometimes they worry you to death about potentials, but still want to pray about potentials. And so make that a matter of prayer, if you will. Amen. All right. The scripture that I read, as I said, deal with fear and desires being realized. Now, Job doesn't talk about desires, just about fear. But he said, "The thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me." One of our presidents said in the past, it was a great statement and well remembered. He said, and I'm paraphrasing, of course, but he said, "The only thing we have to fear is fear itself." You can hurt yourself by being afraid, but fear in the right aspect is a good thing. It's a helpful thing. Matter of fact, personally, I believe it was the grace of God that God allowed men to have fear. That we wouldn't just run off the edge of a cliff, for example. We wouldn't just live foolishly. Amen. This crowd said, no fear, and I ain't scared. They're living foolishly. Fear is a good thing if it's in control. Now, when it's out of control, and you're worrying about things that's, you know, impossible. I mean, somebody, they said they recently wrote a new book entitled The Chicken Little Generation. The sky's falling, the sky's falling. And it's really, we're there. I mean, unless, if you believe that Congress can pass a law and stop global warming, yeah, something missing somewhere. I said, we was going down there to Katie's the other day, and they got a sign down there for the deer crossing. It's in the worst place it could be. It's a 4-lane highway. And, of course, you know, they need to move that sign. But I said, why don't they outlaw it? Tell deers they can't cross. Well, you'd do better talking to deer than you would talking to the wind. Yeah. Now, not that I don't think that we ought to protect our planet. I'm not talking about garbage and throw garbage everywhere and spray hairspray everywhere. Amen. It's not, you know, I'm not just talking about being foolish, but at the same time, when you get to that place that you're scared of everything, I mean, unless we can stop global warming in the next 5 years, the whole planet's going to explode. Well, I want to tell you, this planet is going to burn one of these days. It is going to burn, but it's not going to burn until Jesus says for it to burn. Amen. God's in control of all that. But this fear, he talks about fear and desires being realized. Now, can I say that fear and desire are part of life? They're part of life. We all have fears. Fears, by the way, that we hope never come to pass. Amen. We also have desires, things that we hope will come to pass. Amen. They're natural and they're common to mankind. Christians have them as well as sinners have them. Educated people have them as well as uneducated people do. Rich people have them just like poor people have them. Amen. All these fears and these desires are natural. They're across the spectrum from culture to culture, from nation to nation, from individual to individual, from family to family. We all have them. That's what I'm talking about, these desires and these fears. Now, having said that they are universal, I believe they are universal in life. Perhaps even so among Christians and unbelievers. Christians have them and unbelievers have them. However, in eternity, they're going to be vastly different. And that's what these are talking about, the Proverbs in particular. Job's talking about life. I was afraid of something and it came to me. The thing I greatly feared has happened unto me. That's in life, Job's talking about. But Proverbs is talking about when you come to the end of life. Look at it, if you will, verse 24, Proverbs chapter 10. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. When is that? Well, I think you can say it may happen in life, but it'll definitely happen at the end of life. Verse 28, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Again, when will that happen? It may happen in life, but it will definitely happen at the end of life. In eternity, one group will have all their fears removed and all their desires realized. The other group is going to have all their desires dashed. All their hopes dashed and all their fears realized. Now, I want us to think about that this morning, and just a short thought really on my heart here about what a day that'll be when God wipes every tear from our eyes. When he wipes all the tears away, he'll be wiping all the fears away. Amen. He's wiping all the fears away. But on the other hand, there's other people that's never going to stop crying, never going to stop weeping and wailing and gnashing their teeth. Amen. All their hopes for reprieve will be dashed. All their hopes of maybe God weighing their good against their bad and their good overwhelming their bad. All their hopes of salvation, all their hopes of deliverance will be dashed in that day. And so thinking about that, I've got these two points I want us really to focus on. First of all, the fears and desires of the wicked. Look in Proverbs chapter 21. I know we're dealing with Proverbs on Sunday night. We'll do that again tonight, Lord willing. And we've already covered these chapters. We're in chapter 30 on Sunday night. But we're going to look at chapter 21, just pulling out some of these thoughts. Proverbs 21, verse number 10. The fears and desires of the wicked is what I'm looking at here. He mentions in verse number 10 of chapter 21, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. You ought to underline that. Why is it? Well, let me finish reading it. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Why is it that in the midst of a pandemic like we just went through a few years ago, that liquor stores increase sales? When church doors are shuttered, when parking lots are empty at the church, they're full at the liquor joint. And by the way, they're building more and more. Building more casinos, right? Pumping out more pornography, more wicked. Why is it? Because the soul of the wicked desireth evil. Amen. Desireth sin, desireth evil, and the soul of the wicked is chasing after those things. So it's not very difficult to discern or determine what is the chief fears and desires of wicked people. They love sin. Now, they may not love every sin. Did you know there are some sodomites that hate drunkards? But they love their sin. Right? There's some sinners that they hate lying and stealing, but they love their sin. Right? Whatever the case, you find it, they love their sin in particular. They not only love their sin, they cleave to their sin. It says not only that their flesh loves it, their soul loves it. They love it to the core of their being is what it's talking about. They love their sin. They cleave to their sin. They are at enmity with God. They hate God, whether or not they admit it. They hate God. Right? Here's why I think that they hate God in particular. Is because their desire is to continue in the pleasure of their sin. They don't want anything to stop them from enjoying their sin. They want to be able to continue in it. I've said this before, I'll say it again because it's so accurate, that when we was dealing with the jail ministry in Wilkes in North Carolina, when I pastored there, had the weekly jail ministry there, Brother Rex Williams went every week. I went with him sometimes, and we'd go and was dealing with that, with those folks. Most of those men in jail, the majority of those men in jail are there because of alcohol. Some there because of drugs, a lot because of drugs now, but at that time it was mainly alcohol. And here's what they wanted. They wanted to be able to control their drinking habit. Not stop it. Control it. In other words, they wanted to be able to have a lifesaver to keep their head afloat, but enjoy swimming in the pool. They didn't want out. They didn't want to be rescued. They wanted to be able to control their sin. Now, there's a lot of people, you name whatever sin you want to name, but that's where they're at. Amen. They want to keep gambling, just control their gambling habit. Amen. They want to keep carouse and they just control it a little bit, not be out of control. And different things that you got. They love their sin. And what their desire is that they can continue in their sin with only pleasure and no payment. Amen. They want to be able to live in their sin with all pleasure and no payment. By the way, I know we could talk about, and we're in an election year, we could talk about the national debt. Can I tell you, they're spending head over heels, and there's no way we can ever pay that debt, but one day the debt's going to come due. And is that way in the life of sinners? Just go right on. I mean, just burn the candle at both ends, as they say. Just grab all the gusto you can get. Just live life to the fullest. But, mark her down, there's a payday coming. There's a payday coming. I go back to these politicians. I know they'll promise to give everything. Give free schooling and free meals and a lifetime wage whether you work or not. But somebody's got to pay that bill. Right. The sinner's desire to continue in their sin with only pleasure and no payment. They hope to enjoy the pleasures of sin, not only for a season, but forever, without any consequences and without any accountability. I've got several verses written down here, and I'm just going to read them to you. I'm not going to have you turn to them, but some of these you'll know, some of them you don't, but I think I've got several, so I'll just read them to you. The psalmist knew about this desire that the wicked held, and the psalmist prayed to God about this. Here's what he said, Psalm 7, verse 9. He says, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end." That's the prayer of the psalmist. "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins." Again, he prays in Psalm 140, verse number 8. "Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves." Selah. The word Selah simply means think on this. Think on this. Think on that fact God needs to stop, and we need to pray for God to stop some of this wickedness. Amen. You know how I rail on politicians. I don't put much confidence in them. Just be honest with you. But I'm going to vote. And I want the one I vote for to say that they're against abortion. Most of them won't do anything about it, but they all at least be against killing innocent babies. I want them to say that they're against pumping alcohol everywhere. Right? But a lot of them, they're passing it out in their campaigns. I'm talking about conservatives. Quote unquote. Yeah. Well, the psalmist prayed, "Lord, put a stop to their wickedness. Put a stop to their wicked devices." You don't have to possess divine knowledge to know that if the pleasures of sin are only seasonal, then it would spell the rapid destruction of the lost, those that are involved in their sins. Sin's pleasures are only seasonal. That means they're headed to destruction. But if those pleasures of sin were not only seasonal, if they could enjoy sin forever, you know what would happen? They'd kill themselves sinning so quickly. A lot of people do already. I mean, they snort their brains out. Yeah. They kill themselves in a fast lifestyle of sin because they're wanting to enjoy it with no limit, but it winds up there is a limit. There is a limit. Amen. If there was no consequences, all you got to do is look at Sodom and Gomorrah. I preached about that a little bit Wednesday night. Just think about Sodom and Gomorrah. They was marching in the streets and apparently had the liberty to do so. They was marching in the streets demanding to have relations with anybody they wanted and nobody to say anything about it. They could beat down the door and have what they wanted and look like nobody stopping them. And they were destroying themselves. They had sinned so much that it stunk to high heaven. That's what that we get that phrase. The Bible says that the stench had risen to heaven. We say it stunk to high heaven. And it's true. They'd sinned to that point because they was enjoying the pleasures of sin, and God had to put a stop to it by burning the place to the ground. Amen. Amen. By the way, nobody was safe in Sodom. Nobody. It's rapidly getting there in our world. God had to burn it to the ground. And that's why the psalmist was praying, "Lord, stop, put a stop to their wickedness. Don't grant their desire to enjoy the pleasures of sin with no payment." Amen. Now, sinners desire to indulge in their pleasures. They desire to indulge in their appetites for sin. They want more and more. But here's what they fear. They desire to indulge in their appetites, but they fear that it is coming to an end. They fear death, and they had better. They fear eternity, and they had better. They fear the ending of their season of sin. Job says a lot about that. Job chapter number 18, verse 5. Job says, "Yea, the light of the wicked shall be put out, and the spark of his fire shall not shine." Job 20, verse 5. "That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite but for a moment." That's in a question for me. He's asking, do you not know this? That the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite, but for a moment. Job 21, verse 17. How oft is the candle of the wicked put out, and how oft cometh their destruction upon them? God distributeth sorrows in his anger. Psalm 37, verse 38. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. Psalm 112, verse 10. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. That sounds exactly like what we've been reading in our text right here in front of us. The desire of the wicked shall perish. 2 Thessalonians, these are well-known verses, chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. He's talking about the second coming of our Lord. Here's what he said. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Amen. You know what he's talking about? That's what the wicked fear. Jude, there's only one chapter, Jude chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. He said, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So here's my point. The scriptures say over and over and over, the wicked had best fear the judgment because it's coming. There's coming an end to their life. There's coming an end to their pleasure. There's coming an end to their sin. But no end to their fear. No end to their destruction. Now, sinners often brag and boast about their fearlessness. Some even mock God. Yeah. You know, the Bible says that a fool says there is no God. So we could say a fool mocks God. He mocks the thought of God. He mocks the people of God. Oh, they're a bunch of squares over there. They think you got to go to church all the time. They think you got to read that Bible. They mock it. Right? The Bible says that fools even mock sin. By the way, what does that mean, mocking sin? Well, what's wrong with what I'm doing? That's mocking. That's mocking. What right have you got to tell me that I'm wrong for doing what I'm doing? Right? By the way, your conscience, if it's not seared, tells you you're doing wrong when you do wrong. Amen. There's a lot of people living in such a way that the only way they can keep going the way they're going is if they're searing their conscience on a day-by-day basis. Amen. They mock God, and yet they fear death. They fear judgment. They fear eternity. I'm talking about the fears and desires realized. Now, here's what I want you to notice. One of these days, that which they feared is coming upon them. Amen. All the sinner's fears will come upon them. Amen. Matter of fact, all that they feared and more. We could try to describe hell and the torments of hell, but we couldn't do it justice. Amen. Amen. Somebody correctly said that, it says that the, let's see if I can get it right in my mind, how I don't have it right here in my notes. The scripture says that I hath not seen, neither the ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of the man, the things which God has provided for them that trust in him. They said, if that's so, then the opposite's also true. I hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither can enter into the heart of man the torments that God has prepared for the sinner that rejects the gospel. Amen. Amen. I think there might be some thoughts flash across the mind of sinners at times. The thought of judgment. The thought of getting caught up in their sin. The thought of being lost without God may flash across their mind at times, and yet they shove it aside. They do their best to push it aside. It may bring terror momentarily and cause them to maybe put the brakes on a little bit or to slow down or to stop in what they're doing. But can I tell you, these thoughts are the mercies of God. It's the grace of God that lets you think I may have crossed the deadline. I said it Wednesday night, I'm going to say it again because I know it's true, that reprobates do not even fear for their soul. Amen. I don't believe they fear for their soul. They have no feeling. They have no concept of the judgment, the real judgment of God upon them. By the way, if you can fear, you ought to fear and run to God. Amen. Amen. The mercy of God that you have those thoughts. But even those thoughts of judgment can't really hold a candle to what the judgment's really going to be like. Years ago, they made movies. Estes Perkel came up with several of those movies that they showed. I've never seen any of them, but I know people that my parents went to see them when I was a kid, and different people did. And my dad never was really sold on it. I don't believe God chose Hollywood to save sinners. But they made those movies, and apparently they were very scary. But can I tell you, they can't hold a candle to what it's really like. Amen. There's no way they can hold a candle to what it's really like. We could try to preach it and try to describe it. And again, there's no way really that we could even come close to describing the terrors that ought to be in your heart, because the real terrors that are in hell. Amen. On that day, the desire of the sinner shall perish, and all his fears shall be realized. On that day, and not just that day, but throughout the rest of eternity, all the desires of the wicked will perish, and all their hopes will be dashed, and all their fears will be realized. I personally believe, and this is just a personal thought, I personally believe that sinners in hell, one of the torments of hell, will be wanting whatever they wanted on earth, but they can't have it. Water, wanting water. Rich man, we know that's a fact. The rich man wanted water. But how about the pervert wanting more perversion, but he can't get it? He can't get it. Just wanting a little bit of relief. Just wanting a little bit of pleasure, by the way. They've lived, can you imagine living your whole life for pleasure and not having a moment of pleasure throughout eternity? That'll be torment. Torment for sure. Amen. Well, Proverbs 10, the first part of that says, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Proverbs 10:28, the last part of that says, the expectation of the wicked shall perish. His fear's coming, and his hopes are going to be dashed. Then I want to talk about the fear and desire of the righteous using these same verses. Verse number 24, the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. Amen. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. I started off talking about the desires of the wicked and then talking about his fears. I want to turn that around, dealing with the righteous. I want to talk about the fears of the righteous first and then his desires. If I can. We may have many fears and even sorrows in life. Amen. I mentioned about the doctors talking to Miss Stephanie, and that can be a fear about what is there, what may be, what's around the corner, right? Talk about nuclear war, right? Talk about world war. How bad could it be if Biden wins again, or how bad could it be if Trump wins again? How bad could it be? How bad could we, and if we're not careful, we'll have those fears, and we may have many of those fears, but one of these days, they'll all be behind us. Amen. One of these days, those fears will be gone. Amen. Those fears will vanish. One day, all this fear and all this weeping, all this sorrow will pass away. By the way, what happens to the darkness when the sun pops up? What happens to the darkness? The light dispels the darkness. The darkness flees. The darkness is gone. Amen. I'm telling you, when the Son of Righteousness appears, Malachi said, with healing in his wings, all these fears will be gone. Amen. What a day that'll be. Amen. Amen. When Jesus comes, his coming will be like the rising of the sun. It will dispel the darkness. It'll drive away the fear that may have plagued you and haunted you in the night. Amen. By the way, fears are worse in the night. Amen. If you've got floorboards that squeak, they're bad in the daytime, but they're worse at night.
You're laying in the bed, you hear that floor squeak. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Any kind of fear. You can go about your day and maybe busyness, you can sort of put that fear aside. But when you go to bed at night, it comes back to your mind many times. And in the night, the fears are worse. But I'm going to tell you, when the sun comes up, all those fears are going to be gone. Proverbs chapter number 30, verse number 5, the last phrase that you know, this phrase, the Bible says, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. Amen. I preached on that not too long ago. I'm glad, even though weeping may endure, we may have to endure it a long time, a long night, yet joy cometh in the morning. One of these days our fears will be gone, our desires will be realized. Amen. So what are the desires of the righteous? Again, I could have you turn, but I'll just read you some of them. Proverbs chapter 11. Matter of fact, if you're in chapter 10, all you got to do is look over a page, maybe even on the same page. Chapter 11, verse number 23. Look at this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 23. The desire of the righteous is only good. He talked about the wicked soul loves sin, but the desire of the righteous is only good. The last phrase, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. But I'm glad the desire of the righteous is only good. Paul talked in Proverbs chapter number 1. He talked about being in a strait betwixt two, verse number 23. You remember that? You know what he said was the part, he said, having a desire to depart. Amen. You know what? Paul had a desire for heaven. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 12 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So here's what I'm looking at. In Proverbs, he said, the righteous only desire good. He said in Philippians, I have a desire to depart and be with the Lord, which is far better. In Hebrews chapter number 11, he talked about if they'd wanted to go back, they could have went back. But he said they desire a better country. Amen. I wish America was better. And I love America. But I believe heaven's going to be better than America could ever think about being. So much better. Amen. Psalm 27 is my favorite psalm in all the Bible. Psalm 27, verse 4 is a great verse. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. You know what David was saying about that? He said, there's only one thing. By the way, David was exiled from the throne, and yet he missed the house of God more than he missed the throne. He wanted to be with the Lord. It didn't matter where it was, either in the temple or in a cave. Amen. On the throne or fleeing for his life. He wanted to be near the Lord. He said, one thing have I desired. One thing have I really wanted. He was a man after God's own heart. That's what he was after. I believe that. I don't just believe that means that God had a heart towards David. I believe that means David had a heart towards God. Now, not that he never wobbled on the axle, never failed, but he failed one time. He didn't fail every day. He didn't fail every week. He didn't fail every month. He didn't stay fallen. He repented and got right. I know what people say. Some people say, well, you know, I can sin. I can go look on a naked woman. I can go chase after a naked woman. I can go have another wife. David did it. Yeah, won't you do like David did and repent of that wickedness? If you're going to do like David did, repent of that wickedness. By the way, David paid for it the rest of his life too. More than likely you will too. I will too if we go down that route. Amen. So I'm simply saying these texts that I read to you, Paul had a desire to depart and be with Christ. He wanted out of this world of sorrow. Not that he wanted to commit suicide, not that he wanted out there. No, but what he wanted out was he knew there's a better world waiting on him. And he is longing for that day. Amen. Longing for that day. Can I tell you about the wicked? If they be true, they know there's not a better world waiting for them. They better dread the world that is to come. Amen. Paul wanted out of this world of sorrow and in the presence of Christ. That's what David wanted. That's what the pilgrims in Hebrews, those saints that lived by faith, they talked about in the book of Hebrews. They wanted out of this wicked world and in the presence of God. Amen. Can I tell you, one of these days, those desires will be granted. Amen. When a loved one dies, There's been many stories told of a loved one that, as they're nearing death, they see saints on the other side. They start talking about loved ones that's gone already. You say, well, that's just their mind and all that. I don't know about all that. I believe that some of them, when they see demons coming after them, they're seeing them. Some of them that seeing angels coming after them, they're seeing them. Oh, yeah, I believe that. Their mind's getting closer to that crossing point, and they may be, like Job said, the thing that I feared has come upon me. That's the cry of the lost man, by the way. If it's eternity, Job wasn't talking about eternity. Job's talking about life. But if it's eternity, if you're getting ready to leave this world, the thing you feared coming upon you is the judgment of God and eternity without God. But if you're saved, death's not a bad thing. The shadow of the valley of death. Here's what the psalmist said. Yea, though I walk through, thank God, it's through the valley of the shadow of death. Here's what he said. I will fear no evil. That doesn't mean nobody ever fears, but you don't have to fear. If your desires are for heaven, one day those desires will be met. And those fears will be vanquished. That's the point I'm talking about in my text. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You may not be able to die with family gathered around you. A lot of people today, because of the COVID and because of things, the way that they've got these new protocols, they die alone. Nobody allowed in to see them. Nobody allowed to gather around them. They may die alone, but I'm going to tell you, they can't keep one of them out. There's one that can show up when the doors are bolted shut. Amen. There's one that can show up when nobody is allowed. Amen. Amen. Nobody is allowed, but thank God he can show up and be there. And he will, by the way. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Who shall fear what man shall do unto me? That's one of those favorite verses in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Amen. So the psalmist David spoke about this one great desire. One thing, just one thing I've wanted. If he said, I don't believe that meant that David only wanted one, but he said, this is the top one. This is the principal thing I've wanted, to be with the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord, to look into his temple, to be with Jesus. That's what he's talking about. So in closing, let me just say this as they come with a song. If sinners are wise, they'll fear death and hell. But that fear will be realized one day. Death is coming, and hell with it. Death is coming and hell with it. Saints have a desire to be with the Lord. One of these days, all our fears will be dashed, but our desires will be realized by the good grace of God. Father, thank you for the mercy of God. Thank you for the mercy that, as the song says, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Thank you, Lord, for the day that you smote our heart about our sin and our separation from God and the judgment that was surely on its way. Thank you for smiting our heart. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. Thank you, Lord, that the same grace that tells us we're a sinner will point us to the Savior and tell us that there's hope in Christ. So, Father, I pray that sinners that are afraid today would run to Jesus and find mercy. I pray, dear Lord, for sinners that are not afraid, that they'd get afraid so that they could run to Jesus for mercy. Lord, I pray for saints that you'd help us. Lord, help us remember these fears are just like the tears. They're only temporary. One of these days they're going to be wiped away. These sorrows that we have to face, these burdens we have to bear, they're only temporary. Only temporary. One day the trumpet's going to sound. One day Jesus is coming. And we're going to be with you. Lord, I pray blessing this invitation time according to thy will. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.